Scripture reading today is going to be in Psalm 23. Psalm 23. A Psalm of David. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. You're welcome to quote it with me if you would like. Let me start over and you can do that. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup runs over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Amen. May the Lord be blessed by the reading and hearing of his word. Please be seated. Today is our communion service, and if you've never been with us for a communion service, we do things a little bit differently. What we will do is I will teach a little bit, and then we will sing a song, and then I'll teach, and we'll sing a song, and we'll do that through the end of the service. We do this service differently because we want communion to be a specific time dedicated to Christ. This year, we have decided to go through Psalm 23. And so that is why I'm wearing this t-shirt, because it has all of Psalm 23 written on it. Today we're over here, all right, and we're going to be dealing with verse 3. The title of our message today is A Faithful Follower. A Faithful Follower. The direction you take determines your destination. That might seem like a very basic kind of statement, and it is. But it is also very important. The direction you take determines your destination. This reality means that our choice of direction is vital. There is, however, a second element to this reality. When you follow someone, it is their direction that determines your destination. Does that make sense? When you follow someone, it is their direction that determines your destination. Therefore, who you follow is also vital. So it is vital to choose the right direction, but it is also vital to choose who you follow carefully. So as we kind of chew on those thoughts, let's pray. Father, we want to be faithful followers. Our good shepherd is leading us, and so help us, Lord, as we seek to follow him. Today, we will learn from your word the benefits of being a faithful follower. May we put what we learn into practice. Lord, I ask that you would use me as your instrument to communicate the truth of your word to your people. We ask that Christ would be glorified in the preaching of the word today. And we ask that the saints would be equipped to do the work of the ministry. We pray all of these things in Jesus' precious name. Amen. In Hat Creek, California, which is near the town that I grew up in, there is an extensive lava flow that has dried, and so there's all this lava rock. And when we were younger, one of the things that we really enjoyed doing was we would go and we would hike out into these lava beds, right? And as we did that, we made some really cool discoveries along the way. We found caves. We found a freshwater spring that would come up, amazing water. And then we found way out in the middle of this lava flow, this structure that we called Castle Gate. And it was this rise of rock that you would kind of crawl through and get on top. And it was this really neat structure. So when we would go out to Castle Gate, the problem was there was no definite path once you got past the spring. And so depending on what path you chose, it was either really easy to get there or really difficult. The other problem was some of us, like myself, like to choose the easy route, right? We would go around the bushes and things like that. However, others, my brother particularly, like to hack and crash through the bushes in order to get to the destination. So this illustration tells us what? The path you choose matters. And who you're following matters. Because if you followed John, you would go the easy route. If you followed Tim, you would hack and crash through the brush to get to the destination. As we mentioned earlier, the direction you take determines your destination, as does who you choose to follow. And so today we're going to consider just the end of Psalm 23, verse 3, because this passage deals with our direction and our destination. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. This short passage of Scripture spells out three benefits of being a faithful follower. Purpose and meaning in life come from being a faithful follower of Jesus. The question before all of us today is, will I faithfully follow Jesus? That's what we're going to be talking about. Three benefits of being a faithful follower of Jesus. Benefit number one, a faithful follower has direction. A faithful follower has direction. Psalm 23, verse 3, he restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. We're going to focus on just three words for right now. He leads me. He leads me. Now I'm going to say something that again is going to sound really basic, but is really important, and that is this. For the shepherd to be your leader, you must follow him. For the shepherd to be your leader, you must follow him. Why is this important? Claiming the Lord as your shepherd does you no good if you do not follow him. How many of us have met people who say, oh yeah, I'm a follower of Jesus, but they're not actually following Jesus, right? Claiming that he is your shepherd does you no good if you do not actually follow him. What does it require to follow the shepherd? The first thing this requires is salvation. Why? Because you cannot follow the good shepherd if you're not one of his sheep. Okay? The promises in Psalm 23 are reserved for the sheep of the good shepherd. So then we have to ask a follow-up question. How do you become one of his sheep? Turn, if you would, to John chapter 10. I say turn, but I don't care if you scroll or you click or you type. Just go with me to John chapter 10. John chapter 10. We're going to look at verses 1 through 5 and then 7 through 11. John chapter 10, verse 1. John chapter 10, verse 1. Most assuredly I say to you, he who does not enter the sheepfold by the door, but climbs up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber. But he who enters by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the doorkeeper opens. The sheep hear his voice. And he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. And when he brings out his own sheep, he goes before them. And the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. Yet they will by no means follow a stranger. But will flee from him, for they do not know the voice of strangers. What are we told here? Jesus calls his sheep and they answer. Why? Because they know his voice. Look at verse 7. John chapter 10, verse 7, then Jesus said to them, most assuredly I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. All who ever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture. The thief does not come except to kill and to steal and to destroy. I have come that they may have life and that they may have it more abundantly. Jesus says he is the door. By him we enter and are saved. He gave his life for the sheep. What does this have to do with salvation? So you cannot follow the shepherd if you do not know him. You come to know the shepherd by grace through faith. We are born with a problem. And that problem is sin. And Romans 3:23 tells us, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. We have all sinned. There's a really important saying, we should all learn it, and that is this: all means all, and that's all means. Okay? Because when it says that all have sinned, it means all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Romans 6:23 tells us the penalty. For the wages or the penalty of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. Now this is where the story changes. So all have sinned, we fall short of the glory of God, the penalty for that sin is death, but this is one of those, my favorite words in Scripture, this little three-letter word, because it always introduces a change. So what we have, this bad news, right? We're all sinners. The penalty for sin is death. And if it stopped there, we'd be in trouble, but it doesn't. It says, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. In Christ Jesus our Lord, we have eternal life. This eternal life is the gift of God. What do I do to receive a gift? Well, I take it, right? Ephesians 2:8-9 says, for by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. Not of works, lest anyone should boast. We do not work for a gift. We do not earn it. If we did, it wouldn't be a gift. A gift is given. God, in His grace, gives salvation to all who place their faith in Jesus Christ. This is how you become a sheep of the Good Shepherd. David writes that the Lord leads us on a path. You can't follow the shepherd until you are one of His sheep. Once you are one of His sheep, you follow Him on the path that He has chosen. So He says in Psalm 23, He leads me. The word order is really important. He, meaning Christ, meaning our shepherd, leads us. We do not go somewhere and then say, Jesus, I'm over here. No, He leads, we follow. He leads me. And then he says on the paths of righteousness, a path implies a destination. We are not on a path to nowhere, okay? We have a destination, and the fact that we're being led implies that our leader knows the destination. We do not. Our destination is determined by the one that we follow. Jesus knows our destination, and we are following Him. And so, whenever we find ourselves without purpose in life, it is because we've ceased following the leader. He has a destination. He has a purpose. He's on the path. He's leading. Are we following Him? Lack of direction is caused by lack of fellowship. We break fellowship with Jesus and we lose our direction. What is it that breaks fellowship with Jesus? Sin. So we deal with sin and we follow the shepherd. If we want direction, if we want purpose, if we want meaning in this life, we follow the good shepherd. The good shepherd is so awesome that he has even given us a map for life. What do you think that map might be? The roadmap of life. Here's the issue. If we don't read the map, we don't know where we're going. You cannot know the direction that the shepherd is taking you if you're not following him and reading the map that he has given you for guidance. So, our lesson is this. To go the right direction, follow the right leader. Would you read that with me, please? To go the right direction, follow the right leader. Christ is leading. Are we following? We're going to sing, I Have Decided to Follow Jesus. And so any of my fellow musicians who want to come back up, yay. I have decided to follow Jesus. Stand with me.
Follow Jesus, no turning back.
I pray that you didn't just sing that, but that you really have the intention to do it. Decide to follow Jesus. Please be seated. So we've seen the first benefit. A faithful follower will have direction, has direction. But secondly, a faithful follower gains purity. A faithful follower gains purity. There are three benefits of being a faithful follower. We have direction, we gain purity. Psalm 23, verse 3. He restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Consider with me the next few words. In the paths of righteousness. He leads me in the paths of righteousness. Here, there is an implication. There are paths of righteousness and paths of unrighteousness. When we follow Christ, he leads us in the right path. Failure to follow Christ leads us in the unrighteous path. Jesus never leads us into sin. He doesn't lead us into compromise. Scripture is very clear about this. Jesus leads us, as we have already seen in Psalm 23, he leads us beside still waters. He leads us into green pastures. He leads us into restoration. Now we're going to learn in the rest of this psalm that he also leads through valleys. We're going to learn that he leads through death and into the presence of our enemies. These two ideas presented in the psalm lead us to a few conclusions. So he leads us into green pastures. He leads us beside still waters. He restores our soul. But he also leads us into the valley of the shadow of death. He leads us into these other places. Two conclusions. The path of Jesus may take us difficult places, but it will never lead us to sin. We cannot ever blame God for our sinful decisions. The path of Jesus may take us difficult places, but it will never lead us into sin. Secondly, the path of righteousness promises the presence of Jesus. He leads us in the paths of righteousness. When we are going his direction, we have fellowship with him. No matter where the path leads, when we follow him, we walk in righteousness. This walk of righteousness is described for us in Psalm 1. Would you go there with me, please? Psalm 1. Psalm chapter 1. Well, not chapter. It's just Psalm 1. It's the first psalm. These aren't really chapters. They're psalms. They were songs that were sung. And this is the first one. Okay? Psalm 1. Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the path of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, that brings forth its fruit in its season, whose leaf also shall not wither, and whatever he does shall prosper. The ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind drives away. Therefore, the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knows the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. This is the path of righteousness. What do we learn about the path of righteousness? The path of righteousness ignores ungodly counsel. It avoids sinful paths, and it does not sit with those who scorn others. The righteous path delights in God's word and meditates in it. The righteous path brings stability and bears fruit. The righteous path enjoys prosperity. The ungodly path faces instability, insecurity, and isolation. The Lord knows the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. All of this brings us to a very important question. Which path are we on? Which path are we on? The Lord knows the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. Are we walking in righteousness or in unrighteousness? The righteous path leads us into growth, purity, and holiness. Those are all good things, in case you're wondering. Growth, purity, holiness. The unrighteous path leads to spiritual sickness, perversion, and selfishness. Growth, purity, holiness, spiritual sickness, perversion, selfishness. Which path are we on? Purity comes as we faithfully walk the righteous path. So here's our lesson. To gain purity, stay on the righteous path. Would you read that with me, please? To gain purity, stay on the righteous path. The righteous path is a path of cleansing. God's word outlines the righteous path and cleanses us as we meditate on its truth. So stand with me. We're going to sing "Cleanse Me." Seated. Three benefits of being a faithful follower. We surrender to the Lord. We invite Him to take our lives, to make of us what He desires. And this is what it looks like. What does it look like to be a faithful follower? To be a faithful follower of Jesus Christ involves sacrifice and trial, and yet there is benefit. A faithful follower has direction. A faithful follower gains purity. Benefit number three, a faithful follower brings glory. A faithful follower brings glory. Psalm 23, verse 3. He restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for His name's sake. We're going to focus now on these final four words of the verse. For His name's sake. This is about purpose. Again, we don't walk a path that leads to nowhere. We walk a path laid out for us by the God of all eternity. When we reach the end of the path laid out for us, we are going to stand before our Redeemer. He leads us in the paths of righteousness. Christ makes us righteous positionally, and He gives us His Holy Spirit, who then makes us righteous practically. All of this is for His name's sake. What does that tell us? The sanctification of the believer is about the glory of God. The sanctification of the believer is about the glory of God. This sanctification requires that we follow Him down the paths He leads us on. All other paths lead to unrighteousness. The point here is the reason behind God's actions. There's two ideas behind this phrase. The first is this. God acts for the purpose of His glory. What does that mean? God acts for the purpose of His glory. When Scripture refers to God's name, it is a reference to all that He is, who He is. It is not only His reputation, it is everything about Him. So when it says He leads us in paths of righteousness for His name's sake, it's saying He leads us in paths of righteousness for the sake of who He is. He does this for His glory. There are many passages of Scripture that identify this reality, but we're going to briefly look at two. Psalm 46, verse 10. This is one that we all know, I think. Be still and know that I am God. And sometimes we stop there. Yeah, I'm going to be still and know that He is God. Very important. Keep going. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. That is a definitive statement by Almighty God. This is what's going to happen. And you look at our world around us, if you're tempted to panic, if you're tempted to fear, remember, He will be exalted. Not might, He will be exalted. Why can we be still and know that He is God? Why is that comforting? Because He's in control. Everything that happens in our lives is for His name's sake, for His glory. Isaiah 33, verse 10. Now I will rise, says the Lord. Now I will be exalted. Now I will lift myself up. If you were to read this passage, you would find that it's in the context of judgment. In both of these passages, God declares He will be exalted. This is His purpose. But there's a second idea behind this phrase, for His name's sake. And the second idea is this. God's activity is consistent with His nature. Okay? What do I mean by that? The idea here is that God does all of these things for His children because of who He is. So He does all these things for His glory, but He also does all these things because of who He is. What I mean is this. He leads us in the paths of righteousness because that is who He is. He can't lead us anywhere else. He provides our needs. In this psalm, it says He restores, He strengthens, He protects, He comforts, all because it is in His nature to do so. It's who He is. This is where our knowledge of what Scripture teaches is so vital. Because what does Scripture tell us about God? 1 John 4, God is love. Romans 2 declares, it is the goodness of God that leads us to repentance. Elsewhere we learn that He is just, He is righteous, He is holy. What this teaches us is a very important fact. What God does flows out of who God is. And if we want to understand what God is doing, we need to understand who He is. Where do we find out who He is? In His Word. We look at the world around us and we might be confused, we might be tempted to despair, to be concerned, but we have to understand God is acting out of who He is. He is just. He is righteous. He is holy. He is love. He is good. And He is acting in accordance with those attributes. We live, move, and function for the glory of God. God is glorified as He works in us, and He is glorified as He works through us. And so as we faithfully follow Christ, the glory of God is going to be the natural outflow of our lives. So our lesson is this. To glorify God, be a faithful follower. Would you read that with me, please? To glorify God, be a faithful follower. God is worthy of all glory. Revelation 4:11 says this, You are worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power. For You created all things, and by Your will they exist and were created. Do we believe that? Do we believe that He's worthy of all glory and honor? Well, then we have Revelation 5, verse 12. saying with a loud voice, "Worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing." Oh, folks, I can't wait to hear that. To hear them around the throne saying these words. But if we believe this is true, it needs to be evident in our lives. Is he glorified in our lives? We follow Christ. We glorify him. Why? Because he is worthy. And so stand with me as we sing, "Is he worthy?" Lord, we turn now to our partaking of communion. And so I'll ask that you would turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 11. 1 Corinthians chapter 11. Communion is a time for believers to remember the price that was paid. We are to be reminded here of the penalty of sin. Taking part in communion does not save you. This is simply a way for us to be reminded of what Christ has done. And so if you know the Lord is your Savior, if you have trusted in Jesus Christ to save you, we invite you to join us as we partake of this bread and this juice to remember Jesus. As always, I want to remind you that it is just juice and it's just a cracker. It doesn't become the body and blood of Christ. It is just symbols to represent Him. As we look at this passage, Paul lays before the Corinthian church this opportunity for them to examine themselves. And this is what he says, beginning there in verse 26. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death till he comes. Therefore, whoever eats this bread or drinks this cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself. So let him eat of the bread and drink of the cup. For he who eats and drinks in an unworthy manner eats and drinks judgment to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. For this reason, many are weak and sick among you, and many sleep. For if we would judge ourselves, we would not be judged. But when we are judged, we are chastened by the Lord, that we may not be condemned with the world. We want to take some time of silent self-examination. Let's do that. Father, there's a song that I learned as a child. And it said, it's me, it's me, it's me, O Lord, standing in the need of prayer. Not my brother, not my sister. It's me, O Lord, standing in the need of prayer. Father, it is not our desire today to be examining others, but ourselves. Father, I thank you for the forgiveness we have in Christ. We fall so short of His glory. And yet in Your grace and Your mercy and Your love, You forgive. So I pray that we would be faithful to confess our sins and find You faithful to forgive as You have promised. We thank You and we praise You, Father. In Jesus' name. Amen. Did everyone get one of these as you came in? Okay. So, what you're going to do is you're going to peel back the top. There's two layers. Peel back the top thin layer. And that is going to give you access to the bread. We call it bread. I don't know if it's bread. There it is. Okay. Paul, here in verses 23 and 24, says this, "For I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the same night in which He was betrayed, took bread. When He had given thanks, He broke it and said, 'Take, eat, this is My body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of Me.'" We want to sing just the chorus of Living for Jesus.
O Jesus, Lord and Savior, I give myself to Thee, for Thou in thyself for me. I own no other master. My heart shall be thy throne. My life I give henceforth to live, O Christ, for thee alone.
Amen. So now you have a second tab. This is a thicker one. You have to peel it back carefully so as not to spill the juice. And then we read this in verse 25. In the same manner, he also took the cup after supper, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." We want to sing just the chorus to "I Will Praise Him."
I will praise Him, I will praise Him, praise the Lamb for sinners slain. Give Him glory, all ye people, for His blood can wash away.
We've been called by God to be faithful followers of Jesus. And as we follow Him, the direction He takes us is going to be the path of righteousness. He gives us direction, meaning, and purpose for our lives. And so as we follow Him, we grow in purity and holiness. We walk the path of righteousness. We follow His direction. He brings us purity, and in these things, God gets all the glory. Before I ask us to make a commitment, I have three questions that I want us to ask ourselves. First, Jesus is leading. Am I following? Jesus is leading. Am I following? Secondly, am I walking the path of righteousness? Thirdly, does my life intentionally bring glory to God? We often consider four areas of commitment, and so I want to speak briefly about those. In our personal lives, I cannot be effective for Christ if I do not have direction and purpose. These come as we follow Jesus. The path we are on and that we are to follow is found in God's Word, and so a commitment here could be following the path laid out in Scripture. In our relationships, whenever we stray from God's path, we end up heading into unrighteousness. Spiritual healthiness is found on the path of righteousness. When we are not healthy, we drag all of those around us down as well. And so to be a good friend, to be a good sibling or a child, we must follow Jesus. In our parenting, the direction Christ gives us provides a goal to work towards. If we do not have a goal in our parenting, training is very difficult. We must also remember that our children were given to us for the glory of God. Our desire and aim must be to parent for the glory of God. What does that mean? It means discipline. It means structure. It means rules. It means responsibility. Marriage. A marriage is a partnership. You are a team put together by God to accomplish a goal. You cannot work together if you have no direction. What ministry does God want you to accomplish as a couple? Pray about it and then get busy doing it. So I'll give you just a moment to write down a commitment there, and then we'll give some final thoughts. Final three thoughts. Follow Jesus. Follow Jesus. When you do that, you will walk the righteous path. Walk the righteous path. Follow Jesus. Walk the righteous path. Bring glory to God. Follow Jesus. walk the righteous path, bring glory to God. Let's pray. Father, I thank you so much for your word, and I thank you for King David, called in the New Testament a man after God's own heart. And we read his story in the Old Testament, and our flesh says, how could a guy like this be a man after your own heart? Because he repented. Because you forgive. Because you are gracious and merciful. And you don't look on the outward appearance, you look on the heart. And I ask, Father, that it would be our hearts that would be right before you today. I pray, Father, that this week everything we do, everything we say, and everything we think would bring praise and honor and glory to you in your name. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.